You know, all month long, all the ages in the church, the children, the students, and the adults have kind of been preparing for today. Our children talked all month long about the fact that Jesus is our hope. God's plan was to send Jesus to give us hope. God's plan for us to celebrate Jesus, our hope, and God's plan for Jesus to save us, our hope. Our students had a series entitled The Kid. The Kid from Nowhere changes how we see our situation, how we see ourselves and everyone else, and how it changes how you see fear. And I would add, the kid gives you hope. Today, well, this month we've been talking about unexpected blessings. Today is simply God uses unexpected hope. And we're going to look at Jesus. Over 600 years before the birth of Jesus, God's people were in dire straits, in need of hope. Everything around them was unraveling and falling apart, and there was no hope for anything ever to change. They were hopeless. Then God spoke. And here we see God speaking words of hope to his people when they needed something to carry them on. These are words of unexpected hope given to God's people for sure, because they were destined for doom and gloom. Isaiah 7, verse 14. And therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Listen carefully. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel, God with us. And then later in the book of Isaiah, we see in Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, for unto us a child shall be born, to us a son will be given, and the government will be on his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And there shall be no end to the increase of his government and of peace. He shall rule on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from that time forward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. In other words, God wanted his people to know that it was going to be okay. He would not fail them. They will not be abandoned. God wanted to give his people hope, and he did it through Jesus. Unexpected blessing through something unexpected. How many of you can remember your parents maybe consoling you when things were going bad for you? Or maybe it was a teacher or a coach, or it could have been anyone. And they might have said something like this: it's going to be okay. I know you're hurting right now, but it won't last. It may seem dark now, but it won't always stay dark. Or I know it seems like your life is over, but it's not. Most of us all can remember feeling hopeless. Maybe you're hopeless today. Jesus is the answer. He's the hope that we've all been looking for. Whether you knew you were looking for him or not, Jesus is who you're looking for. I remember the morning I woke up to find out that my father had suddenly died in the night when he was 36 years old. Even though our lives were totally broken and we felt lost and we were experiencing grief deeper than we'd ever felt before, my mom immediately assured me that our dad was with Jesus and that Jesus was going to take care of us too. In many ways, that very morning, my mom was telling me that everything was going to be all right because Jesus was our hope. Jesus won't fail us. He will provide for us. He would comfort us. He would carry us. He would heal us. Jesus will be all we needed. That's what my mother told us. And I wish I could tell you that it was easy from that moment on. It wasn't. That wasn't the only time in my life I felt hopeless. I had many devastating blows in my life, some self-inflicted, others weren't. I've experienced loss so deep that there was no hope other than Jesus. The people of God were experiencing horrible things when the arrival of Jesus was promised. And God wanted to make sure his people knew that help was on the way. Jesus was their hope. It was all going to be okay. And then hope finally arrived. What God had promised had come in Luke chapter 2. We read starting in verse 1, "Now in those days a decree went out from the emperor Caesar Augustus, and all that inhabited the world, the Roman Empire, should be registered in the census." This was the very first census while Quirinius was the governor of Syria. "And everyone went to register for the census, each to his own city. So Joseph went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the family of David, in order to register with Mary, who was betrothed to him and was with child. And while they were there in Bethlehem, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to a son, her firstborn, and wrapped him in swaddling cloth, laid him in a manger, because there was no private room for them in the inn." I know that skeptics would say, and maybe you're a skeptic today, and you say, "Well, God sure took a long time bringing that hope, didn't he?" And we can certainly fall into that category when things seem to be so long time coming, when hope seems so far away. But the fact is that God sent Jesus to the earth to bring us and all mankind hope. Romans 15 verse 12 reminds us again, Isaiah says, "The root of Jesse will spring up, the one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope." 1 Peter 1:3. "Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." You see, Jesus is our only hope. When everything else has failed, Jesus is our hope. When everyone else has failed us, Jesus is our hope. When we've lost everything, Jesus is our hope. When nothing is going right, Jesus is our hope. When we've totally blown it, Jesus is our hope. When we're hurting, Jesus is our hope. When we're ruined, Jesus is our hope. When we're devastated, Jesus is our hope. When we're lonely, Jesus is our hope. Jesus is really all we need. That word hope is often compared to light. You know, when there's stormy weather, the light of a new day brings hope, doesn't it? When there's calamity all around, the light of a new day brings us hope. When there's been a season of loss, the light of a new day brings hope. And when there's been a rash of bad news, the light of a new day brings hope. You know, there's a sharp contrast between the enemy and Jesus. I hope you know that. Evil versus good. Unrighteous versus righteous. Wicked versus right. Darkness versus light. 1 John 1:15 reminds us, "This is the message we have heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light and there is no darkness in him at all." John 1:9, "The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world." In John 18, verse 12, Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life." Some versions say the light of life. 1 John 1, 6 and 7, "If you claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and we do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin." And then there's John 9:5. Jesus says, "But while I am here in the world, I am the light of the world." And I know the question comes from reading this verse. Well, what about now that Jesus is not physically here in the world? Listen to this. Matthew 5:14-16. Jesus says, "You are the light of Christ to the world." He's talking to the body of Christ. You are the light of Christ to the world. "A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand that gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good deeds and moral excellence and recognize and honor and glorify your Father in heaven." This is not about people seeing how good you are. It's about them seeing that you are good because of what He's done. So the truth is that Jesus left us the responsibility to shine His light on mankind. Jesus is the light of the world, but He says that we are. You see, we get that light from Jesus, and we are to be the ones that shine hope into the world. How do we shine hope? By responding in life like Jesus would. By treating others like Jesus would. By reacting in life like Jesus would. By loving others like Jesus would. By forgiving others like Jesus would. By comforting others like Jesus would. By understanding like Jesus would. See, Jesus, the light of the world, has commissioned us to shine like Him so that others will be introduced to His light. That shining is not to say how good we are. It is so others would be introduced to the light of the world. Amen. Years ago, in the early 2000s, we were challenged to relocate our church to this property. And the Lord gave me this the name for the church, North Star Christian Center. And He spoke that we were going to be a navigating beacon pointing people to Jesus, just like the North Star. We read this, and it confirms it to our core. Philippians 2:14-16. "Do everything without grumbling or arguing," some versions say complaining, "so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation." And when you do that, "then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life." One version says, "as we hold out the word of life." Listen, I know that we all have a tendency to think that our little light won't make a difference at all. And you're right, our little light can only illuminate to a certain aspect. And I want to show you something today. I want the media team just to cut the lights off for a moment. I know it's getting dark in here, but you'll be all right. And I'm going to put my light on. And you can see that light just because of basically how I'm positioned in front of everybody. And I have a responsibility to be a bright light in this world. But then God has called us to labor together. So I want you to pull out your phone. And I want you to cut the flashlight on. And I want you to hold it up. And then I want you to look around. And I want you to see how bright things are when we all engage this light. That's why He's called the church to be the church, to be the body of Christ, so that we can do things together. That it's no longer me just having to shine by myself, but no, it's we are shining together. Look around. Bright, shining stars in this dark and depraved world as we hold out the word of life, as we live the word of life, as we respond to the word of life, as we love and forgive like the word of life. We can make a difference. That's the beauty of the season, the light of Jesus. You can cut your light off and the lights can come back up. But isn't that kind of amazing? You think, well, I just can't shine bright enough to show anybody anything. Well, you do what you can do. And then we lock arms. And then we begin to do what we can do. And we've been placed in this on this land, I guess it's about our 12th or 13th year, maybe even longer than that, to help transform the culture, the community. Jesus has left us here to shine his light, to bring hope. We are to shine for Jesus, for the world to see his hope. See, God uses unexpected hope for sure. As we celebrate Jesus' birth this year, let's make sure that we are watching for God to use unexpected people to bring unexpected blessings. Watch that for, and be willing for God to use you as one of those unexpected people to bring unexpected blessings. Watch for God to use unexpected situations to bring unexpected blessings. Watch how God is going to use the unexpected journey that you're on to bring unexpected blessings. Watch for God to use unexpected hope to bring unexpected blessings to you, but also using you to bring those unexpected blessings to the people in the world. See, we're to shine our light. We're not to hide it. That means that we are to wear this badge of Jesus wherever we go. And if someone finds out and is surprised that you're a Christian, then you might not have been shining rightly. I said this before. I did a funeral one day with somebody not in the church, and The close family told me that this gentleman had accepted Jesus in his life. And so my exhortation was based on that. And I had someone in his distant family come to me at the end and says, "I didn't even know he was a Christian." Now, on one hand, we can kind of giggle at that. But on the other hand, think about the reality of that. How is your light? Are people going to be surprised when you tell them that you're a Christian? Or would they automatically see some Christ-like shining in you? I believe that we should be on full charge for Jesus. When my phone gets less charged, it's not quite as bright. But when I plug it into the source, that light is bright. And when we stay plugged into the source, guess what? We shine brightly. And we don't shine brightly for us. We don't shine brightly for even North Star. We shine brightly for Jesus. And we're a family. And we lock arms together. And we're going to have communion in a few minutes. And it's a real unifying thing to have that in the body here. And I want you to just to see yourself as we take communion, just locking arms with others, parts of the body. And when we do that, the shining that we have joins with the shining that they have. And that joins with the shining that someone else has. And all of a sudden there is this bright shining star in the dark and depraved world shining to show who Jesus is. See, it's all for his glory. It is not to make North Star famous. It is not to make me famous. Not to make you famous. It is all about making Jesus famous. I want us to pray today. And typically around holidays, we know that there are people that are hopeless. And if you're hopeless today, it can end today. You can ask Jesus to come into your heart if you've never done that. Or maybe you're a Christian, but you just still find yourself hopeless. You can ask for him to refresh you with his hope. And you can hear him say, "It's going to be okay. I know that it looks horrible." There are very few situations that are more horrible than a young 10-year-old to lose his dad suddenly. I'm not saying that you've not been through something worse than that. But there are very few things that could take away hope more than that could. But here, a bright light that I'd call my mother, in her deepest grief, within hours of when my father had just had a chest pain, and then died within an hour, she is sowing hope into me. It's going to be okay. Yeah, it hurts. It's one of the worst things that you can ever imagine for our lives. But Jesus was right in the middle of it. And she said, Jesus is going to carry us, and he has. And she said, he's going to take care of us, and he has. Said, he's going to be our hope, and he is. He's going to make things okay, and he did. And it doesn't mean that he replaced that person in our lives. No, it just means that he is more than enough. And we don't grieve as those that have no hope. My dad was a Christian. He went to heaven immediately, and I will look for him the moment I go there. Hopefully, I'll look for Jesus first. But then right after that, I'm going to look for my daddy. But my mother used the hope that God had done in her and shined it onto us so that we could even make another day. I want us to pray. Just bow your heads if you would. Heavenly Father.